I'm about to share something with you that can rock your world, and it can change your life if you will receive it as true and then treasure it in your heart. And it's simply this. The people that walked into the doors of this building today, and all the people that you're going to see when you leave this building today, wherever you go, all of those people, Christ died for them. We live in a culture today where it's getting popular to love to hate people. And that's so opposite of the life that Jesus calls us into. Jesus, who hung on the cross, looked at those who put him there and said, "Father, forgive them. They really don't know what they're doing." Jesus taught those who followed him to, "You bless people when they curse you. You bless people when they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. You bless people when they come against you." I don't know about you, but that's not at the top of my list most of the time. You know, I try to get there as quickly as I can. But I am saying God wants to do a deeper work in all of our lives, so that just naturally comes out of us, supernaturally. I'm going to continue today in the series I started last week, Let's Do This. We talked about hosting God's presence last week, and we want to do that at Grace House. Today I want to talk about serving with God's love. There's something very, very powerful when we get the revelation that God can use us in powerful ways if we will just manifest who He is to people. God is love. If we'll just obey the two big commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and so forth, your mind, love your neighbor as yourself. If we'll remember what Paul wrote, love never fails. We want Grace House to be a place where when people come, they're smitten by the love of God. The love of God. And we get that feedback. And I know in a lot of ways I'm preaching to the choir today, but let me just say higher still. Let me say deeper still. Let me say more, Lord, more. Share a scripture out of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45. Jesus himself said, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Now that verse challenges every believer because it tells us what Jesus carried in his heart when he walked the earth. Can I serve you? How can I help you? How can I serve you? I came to serve. And the greatest act of service was he laid down his life for you and me. I'll remind you that Paul, in his letter, which we call 2 Corinthians, by the way, I want to share this with you, because when Jesus said he came to serve, if the Lord of glory came to serve, then serving isn't just a program of the church. It's not just an opportunity to fulfill an obligation. It is the very identity of Christ in us. We manifest Jesus when we serve because we love, because we've experienced God's agape love. And Paul reminds us in his letter we call 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Listen to what he says here. "For the love of Christ compels us." Remember that. It's the love of Christ that we've received that is the strong motivating force in our life that compels us, because we judge thus, that if one man died for all, then all died. So this tells us Jesus died for everybody, right? Goes on to say, "And he died for all, that those who live I think everybody in here is living this morning, okay? That we who live should live no longer, or those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So because we've received God's love, and because Jesus is now Savior and Lord of our life, we don't live for ourselves. We live for the sake of others, for Christ's sake. Just like Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. The world's ladder of success says, see how many people you can get serving you. Jesus' way of success is, see how many people you can serve. So let me share some things with you, because the emphasis today is serving with God's love. And I'm going to draw a circle around our Grace House culture. We want to be a place where people are volunteering and serving because they're so in love with Jesus that they want to partner with him to communicate that love to other people. That's really what serving is. The people that are in our nursery right now, the people that are working with our children, the guys who are helping keep a watch on things while we're worshiping safely in here, the people who greeted you at the door, at the Welcome Center, and on, we have about 100 different people that are serving on any given Sunday, and we need more people serving. But also in your homes, serve each other. Husbands and wives serving each other. That's a lot better than throwing dishes at each other. I mean, let's just do it the Jesus way. Any old carnal Christian can be mean and rude and curse somebody and judge somebody and criticize somebody and gossip about somebody and tear somebody down. Any old carnal Christian, well, any old lost person can do that. But it takes somebody that has been smitten and filled with the Spirit and smitten by the love of God that becomes so rapturously in love with Jesus that everything they do at the heart of it is, Jesus, I want to serve you by serving others. That's the goal. So let me share some statements with you. First, serving with God's love starts at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. It starts at the cross. John said it this way, we love him because he first loved us. Well, I know people that's not saved, that they love each other. I'm talking about agape, unconditional, sacrificial, Christ-centered love that mirrors Jesus to the world, that can overcome all the hostility, the hatred stuff coming down the pike at a person, can just move through that, step over that, and yet love. That's a tall order. And we can't do it in and of ourselves. We need lots of grace. We need to be deeply in love with Jesus. But it all starts at the cross. Never lose sight of who you were before you met Christ. You and I were scoundrels. Well, at least three of us were. All of us have sinned. All of us are filled with our own pride and self-love, wired to hate, wired to be envious, wired to be jealous, wired to pout, wired to manipulate, and so forth. But when Jesus comes, he begins the work of changing all those things in our lives so that we begin to exude love. What's in the well comes up in the bucket. The sponge in the bucket, when squeezed, what rings out of it? Whatever's in the bucket. So we want to be a people, when circumstances begin to squeeze us, Jesus comes out. Now we're getting in a good place when that begins to happen. It starts at the cross. I read a story of a man named Sam. He was older, lived his life godless, for himself, but he got saved. Somebody shared Christ with him. He got saved, got in church, and just on fire for the Lord. He didn't know a lot of theology. They thought, well, I want to do something for others. Jesus has done so much for me. I want to share his love with other people. He volunteered to serve in the church parking lot, Brother Greg. And he was there one Sunday morning. It was coming a strong rain. He got him a big old umbrella and went out there. He was helping people get from their car to the church without getting soaking wet. Now, what Sam didn't know is he headed towards a car that just pulled into the guest parking space, one of them. He didn't know that the young man in that car, that he was in the middle of the marriage that was dying. He didn't know that that young man had a number of times that week thought about taking his own life. The pain was so deep, so brutal, he was just going to end it all. But on what he thought was a whim, he was going to go down to that church that he had been driving past and see if that might help. And here comes Sam with his big umbrella, taps on his window, and the guy cracks the door open, and Sam looks at him with a big smile and said, "I'm so glad you're here today." The man steps out. Sam helps him into the building. The man comes into the building. He's in the worship service. Holy Spirit begins to deal with him. The pastor preaches. He hears the gospel. And then he gives his life to Jesus. His burden was rolled away. He had a peace he had long sought. He had hope that filled in his heart. He had a desire to be the kind of husband his wife wanted him to be, to live the life he was created to live by God. And he later shared his testimony. He said, when that man smiled and said, "I'm so glad you're here today," he said it was like this shell, this hard shell around my heart just broke off. And something changed. I couldn't wait to get in that building. Then I found out why. You never know when you're serving, whether it's in the parking lot or in the commons area or in the nursery or the children's area or passing out communion or when we have announcements and helping greet people, helping usher, serving on our safety awareness team. We have so many places people are serving. You never know that when just a kindly spoken word, and sometimes wordlessly, just having a smile on your face, as if you're glad to see someone. God can use his love in a myriad of ways that can make a difference so that someone else can meet Jesus at the cross just like you did. That's why we're here. To worship him, to enjoy fellowshipping with one another, get our tanks filled, and go get them. Right? The old hymn writer said, "Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus." And we rub shoulders and pass by the wandering ones every day. And Jesus died for each and every one of them. Serving with love starts at the cross. But let me share with you a second thing. Serving with love sees people, not just tasks. In Galatians, Paul says, through love, serve one another. He qualifies it, not just serve one another. Through love, serve one another. Have you ever been served unlovingly? Maybe you're having a tiff at home and your wife's really tiffed off and you got your face buried in a table and your plate's just slammed down. You're being served. Or maybe your wife's been getting on to you about taking the garbage out. And so you huff and puff and jerk it out of there and slam the door and take it out. No. Through love, serve one another. It's not just what we do, but why we do it. We want to express God's love in the way that we serve. You can see in Matthew 25, that's the passage, the sheep and goat judgment. And the goats are folks that didn't visit the people in prison, didn't help the needy and so forth. But then the ones that did those things, Jesus tells them, he says, the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Serving people is like serving Jesus. So we're to do it with love. We're to see people, not just task. Because sometimes if we're very task-oriented, you know, and particularly we men can be wired this way, we're goal-oriented, get them out of the way, I got something to do. And we don't realize, I've been guilty of this before, that we run over people, we ignore people, we push them away, we put them off. But to really serve people, we have to do it through love. And so many people have been hurt in church because they were made to feel that where someone was going to sit in the auditorium was more important than them. I've had people tell me that. I went to a church, and I knew, I didn't know anything. Then somebody said, hey, you got to move. That's where I sit. Don't treat people that way. That's not Jesus. Your task cannot be more important than the people that your task was given for you to serve. It's important for us to remember that. Now, I'm a builder by trade way back. So imagine that there's a beautiful church being built and they're bricking the outside of it. And you go up and you see the guys laying brick and you holler up at one of them, now what's going on here? He says, I'm laying these heavy brick in this hot sun and let me tell you, buddy, it's hard work up here. As he wipes the mortar off. Then you continue walking and you see someone else up there. It looks like they're just having a good time. They're laying brick. Hey, what's going on at this place? Because he really didn't find out from this other guy. He said, oh, I'm so glad you asked. We are building a house of worship where Jesus is going to be exalted and glorified. The gospel is going to be preached here. People are going to go in this house and find out how much God loves them. There's going to be things happen here that it helps nations around the world. It's amazing how this building is going to be used. I'm so excited to have a part in seeing this happen. Two different perspectives. One, you got a guy, he's just rolling up his sleeves and it's just hard work and he can't wait to quit in time. And the other one, he's working with a purpose. He understands what's being built and he gets to be a part of it. Different perspective. Through love, serve one another. And so you see people, this one bricklayer, the church wasn't even finished, but he could already envision those people going in there and getting saved and getting healed and getting set free. How you see things matters. And how you see people really matters. To be able, and this is the thing about Jesus, think about what they accused him of. Why, you're a friend of wine bibbers. Those tax collectors and prostitutes, they call you their friend. I mean, how dare they call a Christian a friend of somebody that's a sinner? Isn't that silly that we would have these religious ideas that way? The Son of Man came to seek and save those that were lost. Every person you meet is in that doesn't know Jesus, they're just pre-saved. You should have it in your mind that they're just pre-saved. I'm going to add my part. I love you. Hey, have you heard about Jesus? Be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's doing. Because serving with God's love sees people, not just task. And the last thing, serving with God's love unlocks the power of the Spirit in us. Peter said, as everyone has received the gift, each one should minister as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Everyone should minister to someone else with the manifold grace of God. There's a stewardship involved in ministering to other people or serving other people. We're all unique here. Look at the person to your right and look at the person to your left. Do you see anybody that looks like you? We're all different. Every one of us, as a believer here this morning, we are an expression of God's grace. That word manifold in English, it's a gardening term, like variegated, like a variegated plant. It's got all these different colors. It's like a patchwork quilt. It's like a group of collectibles that, you know, they're all the same thing, but they're different. God's grace is that way. It manifests different in all of our lives. Now, like when Andrew plays the guitar, it manifests one way. And when I play, it's a different way. Different. Hey, you may be really strong in one area, really weak in others. In the areas where you're really weak, someone else in here, they're really strong in that area, but they're weak in other areas. And Jesus sees all that. And I think he enjoys just moving the pieces of the puzzle. He's doing that at Grace House. He's bringing you a piece of a puzzle that the Lord is putting together. And it's going to be so powerful and beautiful. I believe it already is, but there's more, folks. God's up to something. Smell it in the wind. Amen. Amen. So serving with God's love unlocks the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Off my back porch, I have a water hose. I have it hooked up to a faucet over on part of the building, and it comes around my steps and up to where I've got some plants that this time of year I'm having to make sure they're watered regularly. So I've got that hose hooked up, and I just leave the faucet open on the supply end, and then on the other end it's got a nozzle with a slide lever on it, and I just leave that off. So it's full under pressure with water all the time. All that water hose is a means to transfer water from one place to another place where it's needed. In other words, it has to be added so it can extend its reach to do its thing. And we're all water hoses. You've probably had a different idea of your identity, but you're like a water hose. You're a conduit. You are receiving grace from God, fresh infilling of Holy Spirit from God, because you've opened your heart, turned the faucet open, you've humbled yourself, and here comes grace. And now it's flowing, but on the other end, that you've got to open that up too. That's it's supplied on one end and released on the other. You're receiving it over here, but the purpose is so you can release it over there. And that's what's happening here. By the way, that word grace, charis, is also part of the word charismata, which means spiritual gifts. So the gifts of the Spirit, the grace of God, all the things that the fruit of the Spirit, all that's produced as Holy Spirit has His way in our lives. So we need to keep the supply side open in our prayer closets and have our heart open to the Lord. Now, when we get into pride, we're turning the faucet off because God resists the proud. When we lose our temper, we're turning the faucet off a little bit. When we're judging or gossiping, we're messing with the supply side. But when we get clean and open and humble, then here comes grace. And we can just enjoy it ourselves, not think about anybody else. But if we're going to be a good steward, we're going to open up the other end so it can be released. And God wants to use us all as dispensers of His marvelous, amazing grace. And sometimes that smile, that word, that handshake, sometimes not bold, with emphasis apparently, not losing your temper, not saying that judgmental thing, not saying what you're thinking that you ought not be thinking. I'm happy that people don't always say what they think. I'm really happy I don't always say what I think, because it's enough mess to clean up just for thinking it. But then when you say it, you got to have a whole cleaning crew. Are you hearing me? Open up and let God use you. Let the love flow. Let the love flow. That would probably make a rock song. Well, actually it did. Okay. Let the love flow. Our worship team's coming. There was another story that I read. I'm reading about serving. And there's lots of stories in here, but I want to be careful because I don't want to... The before and after sometimes can be embarrassing to people. But this particular story, there was a man that visited a church one Sunday. Hadn't been in church. Didn't really know much about church. And he slipped in, was sitting toward the back of the church. And I'll read that in a minute. He slipped into the back of the church. Worship was going on. And there was an older man who was an usher, because he thought, well, I can't preach. I don't have skill to be on the worship team, and it really kind of wears me out to try to hold the door open, but I can usher, I can help people find a seat. And he was in this service as people were worshiping, and his attention was drawn to that man sitting on the back. And it just grew inside. He didn't really understand really what it was the Holy Spirit just highlighting that man. And in a minute, he saw a tear pop up in the corner of that man's eye. And he thought, well, I'm going to help him. And he got a bottle of one of the waters, and he got one of the Kleenex things. And he very appropriately, quietly went over and just said, sir, here's a water for you and these Kleenex. I don't know what your burden is, but the Lord loves you and he's got this. That was basically the message. And he just stepped back. He didn't intrude any further. He was very sensitive. And that man that day gave his life to Christ. Then he shared, earlier in that week, his son had died. And he felt so alone. He was so broken. The grief was more than he could bear. And something he had never really done was turn to God and say, I'm going to try that church. And he testified, when that man so lovingly extended that water and Kleenex to me, he said, it just broke. That he just started weeping. It just broke. Again, sometimes just the smallest things in your acts of service, noticing the needs of someone else, can bring about change in someone's life. I want you to stand with me, please, and I want to invite our worship team up here. Prayer team. Sorry, I'm trying to do two things at once here. And I want to encourage you. Maybe you've thought about serving, but you haven't taken the step. Take that step and serve today. There's what we call a connection card, a serve card in the back of the seat. Take that and put your name on it. Just put your name, phone number. You don't have to worry about filling the rest of it out. Just do that and we can get in touch with you and talk about areas that you may can help and serve in. We need you. We are stronger together. And this is just the truth. There's something that happens in your walk with the Lord that won't happen until you start giving of yourself. That's true of giving of your finances, but it's also true of when you start volunteering and serving. We're working on a lot of new things right now. We're planning, and those will be coming forth. I won't get into that right now. They'll be coming forth for you. But we need more help And we believe because you're here, the Lord sending you to help. You pray about that. You think about that. We want Grace House to be a place where people are coming to Christ week by week, where families are growing, marriages are being restored, bodies are being healed, addictions are being broken, and so forth. Is Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning? We have prayer team members up here. These people will love on you with God's love. They will pray with you. They'll do it sensitively. And they'll do it lovingly. I invite you to come if you have a need. Oh, Holy Spirit, who draws hearts to the Lord, do your work right now. And may they be a yes in every heart to whom you're speaking. In Jesus' name. This altar is here if you need to pray. You need someone to pray with you, or you want to come pray alone. Please come. We're going to sing for a moment.